Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
As our Lord and Savior, that He calls us to two different worlds, and we have to live in two different worlds at the same time. We live in this world, our temporal, earthly world, and then we are also, Scripture says, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so we have feet in both worlds, and so that produces a lot of stress and a lot of tension at times when we allow the world to shape our viewpoint rather than allowing the kingdom of God to shape our viewpoint. And so one of the things that we have to acknowledge to one another today as we look into 2022 and saying, well, who do we want to be as a church moving forward, is we have to acknowledge that foremost, as Christians and followers of Jesus, we are spiritual people. We are no longer just flesh and blood, that we are spiritual people by our very nature. And that our spirits are the most important component of our beings. It's like if we're not nourishing our spirit, and if our spirits are not healthy, if we're not walking with God and following Jesus in intimacy, the rest of our life, no matter how much activity we put on it, no matter how many things are going good, if your spirit, if your soul is not healthy, you will just consistently feel out of touch with who you are. And so as we move into 2022, we want to nourish our souls and our spirits. We want to teach and encourage one another how to walk daily with God. And so out of that, we want to encourage you as we move into today's message. We want to encourage you and nurture you and challenge you to walk a life of faith in 2022. To walk a life where you are trusting God daily. It's a matter of learning to live not just as Sunday Christians, but as daily disciples of Jesus. And part of this is we want to provide you with some practical instruction and help over the course of this year so that you'll understand what we as a church family mean when we say an intimate love relationship with Jesus. And we want to help you nurture your own walk with Christ so that it is vibrant and it's real and it is a daily adventure that stretches out for the rest of your life. We want to help you have a joyful life, and by joyful, I mean joyful, F-U-L-L, joyful, a life full of joy regardless of your circumstances. And then I've also invented another word. So I want to encourage you to have a humbled life. H-U-M-B-O-L-D. And I know you're thinking, you can't do that. You can't just stand up in front of people and invent new words. But I did. And what I mean by humbled is I want to encourage you to live a life of humility that is married to boldness. And the two can and should coexist in the life of a follower of Jesus. Learn to be both bold and humble at the same time. That's how we learn to be the church together. So when I was speaking to the youth group this past week, it was really encouraging. And I did something to them that I'm going to do to you in just a few moments. So just get ready for this moment, because some of you are going to have a few withdrawal symptoms, I think, before the end of the service. But what I want to ask you to do is look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It's the same verse that I launched with them on Wednesday night, and this will kind of be our launch pad this morning as we look at our state of being the church. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, if we had more time, I'd be able to engage with you. And so I was able to talk with the youth Wednesday night about what does this mean and what do you see in this verse. And I really would like to ask you just for a moment to look at your Bible, look at the screen, and just look at the different components of this verse and ask yourself, what is this saying to me about Jesus? And just think about it and meditate on it just for a moment. What this potentially can teach you are some really powerful and pragmatic realities about how you can walk with God this year and for the rest of your life. Because one thing it reveals a house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. It reveals a posture of Jesus, is that Jesus was the Creator. Jesus was the Messiah. And yet, Mark wrote this down because Peter and the rest of the apostles watched Jesus do this so consistently that they wanted to make sure to record it, that Jesus modeled for them a desire to spend time with his Father. He modeled for them a hunger of intimacy with the Father. And he would get up and he would set aside time every single day so that he could spend time with the Father to get perspective, to receive power, to understand what might be his assignments for that day, and to prepare himself spiritually for all of the ministry and the activity that was in front of him. Now, we could easily look at this and we could say, okay, so if Jesus needed to spend time with the Father, how much more do I need to spend time with the Father? But if we do something like that, we're basically looking at the method of Jesus rather than the character of Jesus. Because what was really going on is Jesus wasn't just going to practice prayer for the sake of praying. He wasn't just embracing a spiritual discipline in his life just so he could say, yeah, I'm a person of prayer. Jesus was going somewhere to spend time with someone because he loved the Father. He wanted to be in the Father's presence. He was confident of the Father's love for him. He enjoyed entering into this set-aside, focused time that he would go and spend time with the Father. And so that's what we want to commend to one another over the course of this year, is the importance of each of us as followers of Jesus spending time with God every single day in prayer and reading the Word of God. The Father invites us into his presence. He loves us so much, and he wants to spend time with us, and it is a privilege, and it is an incredible reality that we can step into the presence of our Creator and discover how much he loves us, and then him help prepare us for each and every day that we will face. It so moved Paul that when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he wrote this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. He says, "More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." So for Paul, walking with God daily meant knowing God intimately. You can use the expressions interchangeably. Walking daily means loving God, knowing God. So Paul wanted to know God. He says he considers everything else rubbish in view of the surpassing value of knowing God. Now, this is something that's true for followers of God throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, Moses would say in Exodus chapter 33, verse 13, he was determined to know God. And he says, "Now, if I have indeed found favor with you, please teach me your ways, and I will know you so that I may find favor with you." In Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, the Lord spoke to the prophet and said, "But let him that glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me." And then the apostle John would record in John chapter 10, verse 14, the words of Jesus, where he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And so the greatest reality of our walks with God is a progressive desire in our life to know more of God, to discover more and more how much God loves us, and discover more and more how we can love others through the love of God. Billy Graham, who is one of the greatest evangelist pastors of the last century, he said this, the ultimate experience of life is knowing God. And so as we look forward to 2022, how do we communicate and help and encourage one another to know God, to walk with God daily? Well, here's where the exercise comes in. Is when I was speaking to the youth this past Wednesday night, we passed around a box. And I told them, put all of your cell phones in this box. And they didn't have jitters. They only had jitters for like 90 minutes after that, okay? So they were fine. They've all recovered since then. Now, I'm going to ask you guys not to put your cell phones in a box, but I want to ask you to take out your phones and put them underneath your chair on the rack of the chair in front of you. Now, I know some of you are like, well, this is my Bible too. And we're going to have the words on the screen. And honestly, if you're depending on your phone to be your main Bible, you need to get a real Bible, okay? And I'll go into that in a moment. If some of you are like, well, I can't afford a real Bible, come see me after the service. I will buy you a Bible. I promise. I will make sure you have a Bible. Now, don't get your hopes up. It's not going to be like a study Bible with notes, and it's going to be like a paperback, okay? I'll take care of making sure you have a hard copy of the Bible. But I'm going to explain why in just a moment that your phone may just be one of your greatest enemies to intimacy with God. All right? So just hang with me just for a moment. So where do we start in our journey to walk with God, and where do we start in our journey to know God? Well, I think the best thing to do is for me to share with you about my own journey, where I started. So I brought with me this morning this little red Bible. And this is a Bible my mom and dad gave me in 1974. And yes, they were printing Bibles back then, okay? Don't. It is a King James Version, and this Bible has meant a lot to me over the years. But I want to read to you what has been written on the inside cover of this. And you should see it on the screen. It says, presented to Jeffrey Gale Noble by Mom and Dad, October 26, 1974. Now, I was born in 1968. So if you do the math, I'm 6-ish years old at this time. But the notation is on October 26, 1974, my dad wrote this message on the inside fly of this. On March 28th, 1974, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, you prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart. You didn't make this decision public until October the 20th, 1974. And on that Sunday night at Olivet Baptist Church, you went forward and announced to the congregation that Jesus is your Lord. And then on Sunday night, October the 27th, 1974, Brother Russell Clearman, our pastor, baptized you. We love you, and we're very proud of you, mother and dad. So they're going to probably be shocked when they watch the live stream later on this afternoon. They watch it every single week. But that I still have this Bible and still know exactly my story in this Bible. So I remember praying with my dad. He sat on the foot of my bed while I sat on the end of the bed, and he prayed with me to ask Christ into my life. But that's how my journey began. And I grew up in church. My family were believers, and so I had this umbrella of faith over me. We had Sunday morning church. We had Sunday night church. We had Wednesday night church. So we were way more spiritual than the rest of you guys, okay? I went to youth choir. We had hamburger supper between youth choir and Sunday night church. We had youth group on Wednesday night. And sometimes I'd get drugged to church when mom and dad had like a committee meeting for a church committee that they served on or something. I was always around church. So I had this beautiful umbrella of faith, and it's like all of the church family came alongside of my family, and it was just like one big faith family. But I didn't know much about walking with God as an individual, intentionally, until I got into youth group. And it was in 1982 that I went to a youth camp at Camp Ozark, and our youth minister had invited one of his friends who was an insurance agent, but who loved Jesus. And he invited Mike Compton to come and speak to the youth group that weekend. And Mike began to talk about the joy and the wonder of this strange cultish activity that some Christians participated in called a quiet time. And I was like, I thought that was a punishment. You know, you're in trouble. You go spend some quiet time in the corner or whatever it may be. But he began to explain that a quiet time essentially was what Jesus was doing in Mark 1:35. Setting aside a time every single day to nurture and nourish your spirit, your soul, in your pursuit to walk with God and to know God, because he knows you and he loves you. And he taught us some principles that weekend about what you would do in your daily time with God. Talked to us about a scripture reading plan, about where to read, and he talked to us about journaling and some other practices that would inform and inspire someone as they began to search and seek for God individually. So he talked to us about this idea called journaling, and I began that week. I was with a couple of buddies from school that I invited, but that week I remember going home and saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start getting up in the morning and opening my Bible and reading it. And this was the Bible I used for a while. But our youth minister gave us this book, and this book is actually from 1984, and it's just called The Prayer and Share Spiritual Notebook. And this was something back in the day, but you open it up and it has something for prayer, and then it has Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday tabs that you would pray for. Then it had scripture memory. It had places to make notes about what you're reading in the Bible, so on and so forth. So this was in 1984. So this is about when I was a 9th or 10th grader in high school that I was filling this up, just using it every day. So today, you can go up into my attic at the house and you can find a couple of boxes full of journals, because I've been a journaler since I was in the 8th grade. Now, journaling is not everybody. It's not like there's a verse in Scripture that says, thou shalt journal. Carolyn does not journal. That's not how she and the Lord really connect in her quiet time. But I have been a journaler. And so this is an example of a little book. It's just called a student journal. But this is from 1995, 2 years before our first child was born. And then today, when I was at Starbucks, kind of going over the message, I pulled out the journal I'm using now and spent time reading God's Word. And my family and my kids, anyone that knows me intimately knows that, generally speaking, I rarely miss a day. And if I miss a day, it's not because I really slept in. It's because I had like a 6 a.m. meeting and then a bunch of meetings after that. And I'd just run off into the day. But generally speaking, the commitment of my heart and the inclination of my spirit is I don't want to move into a day without spending time with the Lord. It's the most refreshing, enjoying, centering, hopeful, encouraging time for me. Even when I'm encountering hardship, stress, turmoil, all kinds of stuff, spending time in God's Word daily nurtures my soul and spirit and reminds me of who I am and whose I am. And so in 2022, we want to invite you into the joy of knowing God and walking daily with God by helping you in your quiet times. And if you don't have one, helping you establish a quiet time, helping you discover afresh and perhaps for the first time how much God wants to meet with you and walk with you. So 1 Kings 8:23, it says, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below who keeps the gracious covenant with your servants who walk before you with all their heart." Our God promises to keep his gracious covenant with those of us who walk before him with all of our hearts. It's this idea of walking with God. Micah 6:8, you probably know really well, God says, "These things I ask of you is to love mercy, to do justice, and to what? To walk humbly with your God." To walk with God. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, Paul says that we're the temple of the living God. And he says, God said this, "I will dwell and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And so it's this idea of walking daily with God, of seeking to know God in intimacy and being refreshed by God's word through prayer and through centering your life in dependence upon God that we want to help you with in 2022. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us, it reminds us of these two worlds that we live in, but it says we walk by faith and not by sight. You live in the earthly world, and we typically make decisions based on what we can see. But when you have one foot in the kingdom of heaven, we also make decisions by faith and who we can trust. So when all of us walk together with God, when we're all seeking to know God together, that's actually called discipleship. So I'm going to invite Matt Simpson to come up, and he's going to share a little bit about our overall vision for discipleship, because discipleship essentially is just all of us encouraging one another to walk with God. Let's welcome Matt Simpson.
So I don't know if you have people in your life that you consider to be like super Christians, you know, where you look at them and you're like, those are the people that are like just on another level of Christianity. Like if we had leagues, they would be like a professional Christian, you know, where it's just kind of something you do on the weekends, literally. You kind of show up to church maybe a couple times a week or maybe a couple times a month or a year, and you just like to be kind of in proximity to Christians and the church. You would say you know Jesus, but it's not like something that you're really going to do every day. And so the idea of a daily quiet time or something like that, your idea of it is, instead of what Jeff's talking about, you know, starting your day with the Lord, you're like, man, I'm not a super Christian. These super Christians get up at 3:30 in the morning and memorize like two books of the Bible before I'm even like awake. And unfortunately, these spiritual disciplines like spending time with the Lord, prayer, and even, yes, discipleship, are things that if we're not careful, we can categorize as something that only super Christians do. But if we read clearly in Scripture, it is the commission, it's the great commission even, that Jesus gives us that we should all be in discipleship. We should all be a disciple of Christ. Jesus' followers in the New Testament, his first followers, were called his disciples. There is no following Jesus without being his disciple. So discipleship is essential in our walks with Christ. That was just what he said as he was ascending to heaven in Matthew 28. He says, "Go into all the nations, making disciples of all the nations." This isn't an optional thing that only some super Christians do. If you are called to follow Jesus, you are called into discipleship. There is no option for you to just say, "I'm not going to do that." The harsh reality is you are being discipled by something. Now, we would hope that it's being discipled into spiritual maturity with the Word and under the influence of the Spirit. But the reality is, whether it's social media or TV, music, your favorite news outlet, whatever it is, they're discipling you to think about the world a certain way and respond and react to what is going on in your life personally and also on a cultural level. They're training you to respond and react in certain ways. Instead of being rooted in the Word of God and your relationship with God, you are instead reacting out of the other things in your life that are discipling you. So we understand, it is clear, a call to follow Jesus is a call to discipleship. You can't separate the two. It is essential that a part of a Christian's life would be discipleship. So as North Star, as a part of like the big C church, we recognize that we have a responsibility to not just be passive when it comes to this call to discipleship. And so what we have done is tried to create an opportunity for you to be discipled as members and attenders of North Star, and we've called it the Discipleship Initiative. And Jeff first kind of developed this in 2019, where he had a real burden on his heart from the Lord that every member of North Star would go through some discipleship material. And we have since opened that up to members and just attenders. Even if you aren't a member of North Star, you're welcome to take part in the discipleship initiative. And the outline of it is, it's not the only way that you can be discipled. It may not even be the best way, but it is the way that we have felt led by the Lord to offer our members and our attenders to be obedient to this call of discipleship. And it's built around four fundamental principles: intimacy with Christ, humility before God, obedience to God, and then influence, bringing other people to Jesus. And so we build the discipleship curriculum around those four things, but there's another essential component beyond just learning how to walk with the Lord. An essential component to the discipleship initiative is that it really is an initiation into a lifestyle of discipleship. So part of this curriculum is going to help equip you to then be able to go out, and if you stay in Blacksburg or you graduate and move away, whatever it may be, to be able to give you the tools and the tips to be able to develop a lifestyle of discipleship yourself, because it'll take you 6 to 10 to 12 weeks to go through this curriculum. And it's not like you just like, all right, well, I'm done. I'm discipled now. I don't ever have to do anything else with this. It's a lifelong process of growing and learning to be a follower of Jesus. And so we want to help you, as a part of our discipleship program, learn to develop those relationships yourself, to be discipled by others, and also to disciple others for the rest of your life. So there's two aspects to this initiative: you learning to walk with the Lord and then as His disciple, and then secondly, you learning how to develop a lifestyle of discipleship that is in obedience to what Christ has commanded us to do. If you're interested at all in signing up, I would challenge you that if you have not gone through this curriculum, that you would go to don'tgo.be/discipleship, don'tgo.be/discipleship. You fill out a small interest form that'll come to me, and I can follow up with you, and we can get you in a group, very small, usually about 2 to 3 people, and we do separate guys and girls. And it is really an opportunity for you to take this step of obedience in faith and say, you know what, I'm not okay being just kind of a passive weekend Christian anymore. I'm going to take this step in order to be obedient to the call of discipleship that Christ has commanded us to do.
Thank you, Matt. So when we walk daily with God and we see the importance of encouraging one another to nurture our walks with Christ in discipleship, it means that we're building up the church. And that's exactly what Jesus asked from us. And so when we think about walk daily, the next thought is to build up. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it says that God gave leaders to the church essentially to build you up. And it says to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. And 1 Corinthians 14, 12, same thought, says, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek to excel in building up the church. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, 26, says, everything is to be done for building up the church. And what it means is, when we build up the church, it means that we practice the one another's of the New Testament. Love one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. Do you know there's over 50 different one another's in the New Testament that give us instruction on how we're to relate with each other as followers of Jesus? And you can see that basically what that means is that to one another well means that we love the body of Christ, that we love the church. And so you may say, well, what does it mean for you to love the church? Practically, what does that mean? Well, I think first what it means is it means to seek relationships with other Christians, to really enjoy being around other Christians and in fellowship with other Christians, whether it's in a small group or a discipleship group or a circle of friends, where you learn that it's just as natural to go to Taco Bell with one another as it is to spend a few moments in prayer with one another. Where you, as a guy that works during the day, you find other men that you can go to lunch with and just, hey, how can I be praying for you? What are you encountering? Or whatever your path of life is, it means that you really do seek to intentionally build relationships with other Christians. It also means to embrace discipleship, both being discipled and discipling. And it means that you'll identify with the church through membership, find a place to serve in a church. And then you learn to see every local church as another expression of the body of Christ. Is that Christ ascended into heaven, but he's left his people on earth. And through his people, as the local church, he wants to impact the nations and nurture their souls and spirits so that they know the joy of walking with him and knowing him. So we walk daily, we build up, and then lastly, the third thing that we would do is we seek first his kingdom. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." And when we first read that verse, it's in context of a larger train of thought that Jesus had been communicating to disciples. And you say, what's the but there for? Well, Jesus had just been saying, don't worry about what you should eat. Don't worry about what you should wear. Don't worry about your shelter. Don't worry about any of this. And he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you or added unto you. And what that means is that when you're walking daily with God in intimacy, when you're setting aside the primary awakening moments of your day to spend time with God, when you are seeking to build up the church and encourage other Christians in discipleship and encouraging relationships, then it means that you make a priority of your day to build and extend the kingdom of God. That when you wake up, you're really saying, God, I get to play a part and what you're doing in this world. In my own context, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at home with the kids, whether I'm in school, whether I'm on vacation, whether I'm shopping, God, you want to speak and move and touch others through me because I'm part of your diverse body that is living in this generation. So you make the kingdom a priority in your life. You put God's priorities first. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways know him, and he will make your paths straight." So walk daily, build up, and seek first. So as we wrap up this morning, let me kind of give you some of the practicals, okay? So first and foremost, it means focusing each and every day on knowing God more intimately through reading his word and prayer, beginning a discipline of quiet time. And some of you may say, I'm just not a morning person, and I'm not going to Jesus juke you and say, well, Jesus got up in the morning. And I'm just saying, find your most alert, aware time in the day and carve out some moments there to seek after God in his word, reading the Bible, and spending time in prayer. And we are here to help you. No question is too, quote, dumb for us. So if you just say, I just need someone to sit down and show me what your quiet time looks like, I'd be happy to do that. Any of our leaders would be happy to do that, to nurture you and to prime the pump to get you started on a lifetime of knowing God. Just like Mike Compton did with me and our youth group when I was in eighth grade, I had no idea. And someone had to show me what that looked like. But once someone showed me, from that point forward, literally, I've been seeking after God every single day in my life. And then what that means is growing in faith and encouraging others through discipleship. learning and helping others learn what it means to walk with God, and sharing celebration stories, sharing stories of failure, confessing our sins and shortcomings to one another, but also lifting each other up and building each other up. And then for those of you who are members of North Star, I want to encourage you to mark your calendars for Sunday, February the 20th, for our first member meeting of 2022. So that's where we'll be sharing all that God has done in our church family this past year, which was monumental for our church, and we'll be looking forward, and we're also going to be unveiling Immeasurably More 7, and we'll be talking to you about what that means for us as a church family. But that's 5 o'clock, Sunday, February the 20th. And then this coming Tuesday, we wanted to provide a next step for you. So you may say, okay, tomorrow is Monday, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to spend time in prayer with the Lord, I'm going to read God's Word, I'm going to do that Tuesday, but what can I do with other Christians to encourage me this week? Well, this week we're going to begin once a month prayer time. We're going to meet at noon and at 6. Now, this is not you have to come to both. We wouldn't expect that, but it's two different opportunities, hopefully, that will fit a lot of your schedules. But we're going to begin meeting for prayer, and so come up here to the building at 12 noon on Tuesday, and we're just going to spend some time in prayer together with anybody that shows up. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for one another. We'll pray for the kingdom of God. And then we're going to do the same thing again at 6 with a different group of people, whatever your schedule may be and whatever it allows. And we'll experiment with days of the week and some other things, but this was the only day that we don't have small groups meeting on Tuesdays. And so we want to encourage you this week, Tuesday at noon or at 6, to join us for prayer if you possibly can. So I want to invite our worship team to come up, and we're going to prepare to close the service. But I want to encourage you to think about what it might look like for you to be someone else's Mike Compton. So Mike Compton was an insurance agent who loved the Lord Jesus and who had been walking daily with God. And my youth minister asked Mike to come and speak to us at a youth retreat so that when I was in the eighth grade, I heard Mike speak, and Mike's humble, simple presentation of the joy of knowing God and being known by God, of walking with God daily, impacted my life pretty dramatically. And it's something that's not really seen, it's just a constant current in my life. But I get up and I spend time with the Lord every day because of the model and the teaching and the heart that Mike Compton shared with me way back in 1982. I want to encourage you, what would it look like for you to be someone else's Mike Compton? Man, if out of this message God were to have used me in one way, that one of you left here today and said, today, beginning today, for the rest of my life, I'm going to seek after God. I make God, reading God's Word, spending time in prayer with the Lord, my daily priority. And I'm going to grow in faith. Man, that would make my day. That would seal my legacy. Several years later, after we moved to Virginia, I wrote Mike Compton a letter, tracked him down, got his address, and I wrote him a letter. He had no idea. He had no idea. He was still walking with God. He was elderly. He wrote me this really sweet letter back. He had no idea that God used him on that weekend to speak into the life of an eighth grader so that one day, by God's mercy and God's grace, I'd be standing up in front of groups of people every single week, encouraging and inviting and urging you to discover the wonder of an intimate love relationship with Jesus that you can experience every day for the rest of your life.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.